With the help of the Lord, I desire that we would turn and read together from Colossians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 4. Seems fitting that since the first verse is about masters and the previous few verses are about servants, that we would actually begin with chapter 3, verse 32, which says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall for the wrong which he hath done, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." The Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. What would it have been like for the church in Colossae to receive the visitors that brought the letter from the Apostle Paul and reading it for the very first time? they would no doubt be very glad and rejoice for the news that had come from him, but also so much for the message. And in this letter, Apostle Paul encourages and exhorts the church and speaks so much of the one thing that is needful. One thing is needful. Lord, this treasure, teach me highly to regard. All of the wisdom and all of the treasure of God is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who Apostle Paul speaks of to them, that he would be their focus, that he would be their aim, that he would be their king and their leader. And he speaks amazing things of the nature of Christ and what he has done for us and the salvation that he has wrought throughout the entire book. And as Apostle Paul gets to the end of his letter, his exhortation to them takes on a very practical tone, as it does in all the letters. But each of the things that he exhorts them also contain that one thing that is needful, that one truth that reflects Jesus Christ. And there's applications for everyone, for wives, husbands, children, fathers, servants, as we have read of, masters, and the church as a whole. There's one that we need to take heed to, and he is calling us. He's speaking to us through his word, and he has something for us. You notice that as Apostle Paul lists the people that he had sent with the letter, that he mentions one Onesimus. Perhaps the Onesimus from the book Philemon, who was a runaway slave and was returning to his master. And he'd become a follower of the Lord and become a faithful servant and beneficial in God's service. Do you think that when Onesimus heard the word to servants, that perhaps his ears perked up and that he became very attentive to that word because it applied to him? I'm sure it did. If Philemon was in the hearing of this message, perhaps when the word masters came up, that he would begin to pay attention and his ears would perk up. Does the Lord call your name through his word, through his teaching? Do you long to hear? There is something for servants, there is something for masters, but there are principles to be gained for all of us. As we read about servants, that they are to do whatever they do heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. That their service and that their efforts and their work would be as if they were serving the God who has created them and has given them life and who they depend upon for their next heartbeat. As unto the Lord and not unto men, who may give them another paycheck, maybe not. They don't depend so much upon him. But we all depend upon the Lord. And we're encouraged to do whatever we do. Maybe we're a servant. Maybe we're a master. Maybe we're a father. Maybe we're a wife. Maybe we're children. Wherever we are and wherever God has called us and has entrusted for you and for me today, do it heartily. Do it with your all. Do it with your heart that is surrendered to Jesus Christ as the one thing that is needful. This is the way the Apostle Paul lived. And he encourages us and the servants to do the very same. Because there is nothing better. There's nothing more worthwhile than pursuing the things that will truly benefit, that have eternal value for the honor and glory of our God, not to men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And he speaks again here of the Lord, and that there is no respect of persons in his judgment. And then transitions on to the masters and tells them, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Just as God is just and does not have respect of persons, does not show partiality, that masters are to do the same. We have a beautiful example of this in either the great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather of David, Boaz. When he went out to meet the laborers in his fields, he said, the Lord be with you. And his laborers said, and the Lord bless you. God wants to be with us. And we want to serve him as one who serves a good master, one who we love, not that we resist. And so masters have an amazing place to demonstrate what kind of master we have in heaven. To demonstrate also the kind of master we would like to serve. One who is just and equal. We need to remember for masters, they need to remember. But there's a principle here for all of us. That in whatever we do, whatever station of life we're in, whatever task may be on your mind that you need to finish tomorrow, can you do it in a way that demonstrates the truth of God, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God? Can you reflect his nature and his character in the things that you do? Masters are to do that in how they treat their servants. But we are also given a teaching. We're all given the teaching to remember how we have been treated by the Lord. Those who are his children who have received great forgiveness. That you remember your master and the great forgiveness that he has given you. And that we should not neglect to forgive everyone who is indebted to us. When we remember our master, when we remember the Lord and his heart toward us, does the world become a better place? Does the world become a better place when we esteem one another better than ourselves? When we forgive and do not demand payment for the wrongs that have been done to us? When we are at peace with one another? When we are finding joy in Jesus Christ and seeking the best for one another? When we remember our master and follow him, our world and our families, our church, our lives find that, yes, his straight and narrow path that he has given, that is hard to let go of the things that this flesh wants to hold on to and the flesh wants to maintain. Just like those masters, they want to hold on to what they have. When we learn to let go and love as God has loved us, we find that that straight and narrow path is truly the best and brings great blessings and eternal life. Apostle Paul encourages the church, continue in prayer. There were no doubt many who had prayed for Apostle Paul, even when he was in bonds and in prison. And Apostle Paul is encouraging them, do not give up, but continue in what you've started. And he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. To watch. Who is given the task to watch? Is it the one that's paying attention? Is it the one that's going to fall asleep? Is it the one that's reliable and trustworthy and ready? It's the soldier, isn't it? The one that's been well trained and well prepared for the task at hand, that keeps their focus under stress. Yes, the Apostle Paul is calling one and all in the church to be soldiers with him in the kingdom, to watch in the same, to be watchful, to be prayerful, to seek out the needs of the church, and to ask of the Lord to provide. Now, there's two ways of watching. We can watch and worry. And worry about who's lurking in the corner. And I imagine a soldier on the city walls who's looking out to the wilderness and waiting for enemies to let the people know and to bring them into safety. They're watching and they're wondering and they're worrying. But Apostle Paul says, watch in the same with thanksgiving. Are we watching with a hopeful expectation that the Lord will prove himself faithful in all things? That the Lord's will be done. When we watch and pray and find answer to our prayers, give thanks to God, and then we remember, it was not our watchfulness or our discipline, but that the Lord has provided abundantly, and we have so much to be thankful for. Continue in it. Continue being a soldier. And then also pray also for us. Apostle Paul knew that he needed the prayers of those he loved, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. It's interesting to see what he asks for prayers for. So often we think that we should pray for deliverance from the things that are seeking to harm us and are seeking to destroy us. But Apostle Paul, he asks for the things that would potentially destroy his physical body, but that he knew that he was called to and that he was ordained and called of God to do, which brought him spiritual life and gave him spiritual purpose. He wanted that the door of utterance would be given to him to speak the mystery of Christ. He says, for which I am also in bonds. When he faced opposition for speaking the truth, he did not ask for freedom from the opposition, but only that he could speak more truth, regardless of the cost. His eyes were set upon that which was true, which was lovely, which was honest, which was of good report, in virtue and praise. He thought upon these things, and that's what he asked for prayers for. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He was constrained by the love of Christ to share it. He took his calling, this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, very seriously. He did not want to leave this earth looking back with regrets and missed opportunities, but was willing to take any opportunity, even if it would cost him, to speak of Christ, to make him known, because he was not ashamed of the gospel that brings salvation to men. And he wanted the church to participate in him with him. And maybe they couldn't be in Rome or wherever he was in prison or where he was teaching, the new place that he was teaching. He is in bonds now. Maybe they couldn't be there with him, but they could pray, they could participate, and they could also learn what it's like to live life and to do all things that you've been called to do with the hope that someone will see God in it. And Paul gives some very practical example or practical advice regarding that. How can I do what I'm called to do in a manner that reflects God's truth? He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Walk in wisdom, in the words of Jesus Christ. Reflect those things to those that are without, redeeming the time, buying back the time. We want to make the most of our time. My friends, outside of Jesus Christ, the days are passing. The time is fleeing quickly. The summer is definitely here, but it will be passing. Are you saved? Or will you say this fall, the summer is ended and gone, and we are not saved? Jesus says that if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. And that would be a terrible waste. But if you lose your life for his sake, you will find it. And God can restore those missed opportunities that you've passed up and the years that have been eaten away by Satan's lies and give you time and an opportunity to serve in his kingdom for something valuable and meaningful. And brothers and sisters, when we walk in wisdom toward them that are without, we let them know that things don't have to stay the same way that they are now. But Jesus calls to repentance and to come into his kingdom that you might be redeemed. And that our time would be bought back and made useful, this very short and fleeting time that we're here on this earth. He says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I imagine that all of us have had opportunities to share our faith with others, and perhaps some of those experiences brought blessing, and we thank God for it. And some of those experiences, we did not know what to say. But the Lord is gracious to us in helping us to prepare. We might not know when those opportunities come, but it's not in those mountaintop opportunities where the preparation is made. Apostle Paul says, let your speech be always with grace. It is in the day-to-day where our character is built and formed and developed, where when we have an opportunity to speak from our hearts, all that groundwork and preparation is made known. You see, God doesn't delight in sacrifices or ceremonies or going through motions. He wants all of our hearts and all of our lives. And he deems that they are valuable in his sight and in his service and in his kingdom. every single day. And oh, how I can recognize that I lose sight of that. But he calls me back to season my speech with his grace, with the flavoring of his word, that I might be ready for the next test. The soldier prepares too. He prepares that he'd be ready for the next test. May we also be ready. So many other beautiful things are expressed in this chapter. And perhaps just one more thought as we consider this list of individuals and greetings that are given at the beauty of the fellowship of the church that is expressed. All my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. This is who Apostle Paul sent to teach. One who is beloved, faithful, and serving. And we would do well to do as Apostle Paul had instructed, to mark such as ye have for an example. To look at the good examples that draw us closer to our master. To look at the good examples that draw us closer to our father. Think of the prodigal son. He was sitting in the pigsty, and he thought of a servant of his father. And it reminded him of his father's graciousness. That servant for his father did much more than his new master and the owner of the pigs. Don't follow this world. Don't follow false religion. Don't follow the winds of the day that lead towards sin. Love the brotherhood. Be ready to serve and find good examples that can show us the way, how we've all been blessed so much by those who have gone before. Those who have set the example, those who have walked faithfully. We can remember them. And I know that we do want to be like them, to have that positive effect on others. He had a desire to know their estate and to comfort their hearts. How blessed it is to have one who not only has the title of beloved brother and faithful minister, fellow servant of the Lord, but someone who cares about you, who asks about you, and wants to comfort your hearts in bringing the message of the one thing that is needful, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May he direct all of our hearts into his love and patiently waiting for him and occupying our time till he may return. May God bless his word. Amen.
Paul is exhorting to continue in prayer. Prayer is the most spiritual exercise that we can perform, any of us. And yet it's probably the one that is the most easily forsaken. Paul urges us to continue in prayer, that it would be something that we are continually in. He gives beautiful exhortations here. But one thing we see here says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And he says, redeeming the time. We are all given X amount of minutes per day. You can't take any minutes from today and save them for tomorrow and use them tomorrow. You can't take any from yesterday and use them today. You have time that is given to us as we live it. And we will give an answer for every minute that we have lived. The Bible tells us that we will give an answer for every idle word that is spoken. So Paul is exhorting us to redeem the time and walk in wisdom toward them that are without. It is Jesus who first used that term, and that is a very harsh statement, my dear friends, who are without. Because Jesus first said in the Gospel of Luke, he talked about those who are without, and then he also, Paul also in Corinthians, talked about those things that are without, or those who are without. And then in Revelations, we see that it says of those who are going to see the celestial city and those that are without. So being without is like being outside of the ark. And to consider the danger that you are in, I think it's lost on you. It's lost on you. The danger that you are in currently being without. But for us, brothers and sisters, we are encouraged to walk in wisdom toward them and to redeem the time. That means the moments that we have, the minutes that we have. And I really appreciate what was mentioned in the prayer. You know, we may often look to do something great, but the moments come at us, even things that we would think are little, that make a huge impact, because it's the moments that we are, if we are continuing in prayer, and if we are walking in the power of the Spirit of God, every opportunity given to us, we are redeeming that moment, that time, and we are doing with the Spirit's guidance those things that are will be beneficial to those. That means that, you know, if you have a boss that you would love to see him or her saved, but yet you're grumbling about your job, you're grumbling about this, you're upset about this. Where's the redeeming of time that you are being given? And that's in everything that we have. He says, let your speech be always with grace. It says in the gospel, it says, they bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Gracious words. Let your speech be seasoned with salt, always with grace. That means all harshness is gone. All harshness is gone. Gossip. The things that cause relationships to be split and broken, and it's all gone. We're redeeming the time. We are walking in wisdom, godly wisdom, towards those that are without. And these are the words that Paul has penned in the closing of this epistle to the church in Colossae. And he gives the instructions to masters and servants. And, you know, there wouldn't be unions today if the masters or the bosses or the corporations didn't look to take advantage of every minute that their employee was giving them. There wouldn't be no unions. There wouldn't be all the government regulations and OSHA and everything. It's because of greed. It's because of greed. Everyone looks for themselves. And Jesus teaches us, no, it's not about self. Redeem the time for those that are without. And for you, my dear ones who are without, consider the danger that you are walking in. Consider that danger. And redeem the time. Use the time that you're given today, this moment, this minute, and turn to the Lord. May God bless his word this evening on our hearts. Amen.